This information is brought to you by Combat Pest Control. Today, we're going to talk about housing, flats, apartments, in blocks and villages, but they all share one common theme, and that's communal areas. So communal areas in respect to somewhere to eat, drink, or live. And if you want to think about this as a retirement village where you have independent living, so their own, your own flats, or they might be rented, but you also have things like a restaurant or a bar area, or even things like hairdressers in that kind of traditional village setup, but also things like student accommodation, where there might be unions, bars, etc. We're going to speak about bed bugs and the risk it poses, how to prevent, what to do if you come across, how to stop them from spreading, possible locations, and next steps if you do have a problem, if you are actually the care provider, or you are the landlord, or the university, etc. So what are bedbugs? So bedbugs are a small blood-sucking creature, so a parasite, that live in cracks and crevices, mainly in and around your bed, but also right around where you rest and relax. And they feast on us in this situation as we sleep and again rest. Bedbugs aren't dangerous and don't spread disease, but their bites can be itchy and painful. And these uninvited guests can cause stress and anxiety when they infest our homes and our places of work. So that's what they are. Attached to this podcast as well, there's some links that take you onto some further information. But why and how do we get them? Well, it's the million-dollar question, and there's a plethora of reasons. The main reason is they need something to eat and somewhere to live. So the host is in this situation, is us as a human, and somewhere to live, like we've said, cracks, crevices, in seams of mattresses, etc. But why we get them? Yeah, they almost died out in this country 50-odd years ago. But well, travel really kicked them back in again. You can get reference to bedbugs down to the Roman times and in modern literature also. But they have really flourished with well travel. Anyone can get them. It's nothing to do with hygiene. It is just quite often poor luck or repetition, doing the same thing again and again, and you bringing them back in. And I'll get onto that in a little while. Prevention, really, really simple stuff, actually. But how do we actually prevent them coming in to our properties? There's some really simple stuff. We can regularly wash bedding, so pillows, pillowcases, sheets, things like that. So if you do that on a weekly basis, you can vacuum your whole property on a weekly basis, including your mattress and bed. Keep your property neat and tidy. Again, a weekly tidy. Empty waste bins, restrict things from being under your bed, things like boxes, you know, stored cardboard boxes that are flat packed down, get rid of all them, keep everything clear. Do not allow unwashed clothing to build up and wash weekly. And especially on this, you like wash your outside coats. Also vacuum, like I said, vacuum mattresses, headboards, bed frames, probably more like a monthly basis, but weekly if possible, and conduct a monthly deep clean, including a thorough vacuum of floors in and around the bed, pulling things out as well, and really getting kind of underneath them. So it's just general housekeeping, good hygiene, will go a long, long way in preventing any outspread. Early signs. So what you want to be looking out for on yourself and especially around your bed is blood. So bed bugs are parasites and they live on our blood. So if we see spotting, that's a real surefire way of seeing what's going on. Bites on your skin, you may see tiny black spots on your mattress. It can look a little bit like what we'd class as mold, but it's quite often the dried excrement of the bed bug, which is our blood. You may see them, either small bugs, you know, ranging from about 1.5 millimeters to about 5.5 millimeters, or tiny white eggs in the cracks and crevices of your mattresses, headboards, divan beds, things like that. When it gets bad, you may also see like a pile, like a build-up, and they can be small piles, but they can also be quite large of mottled bedbug shells. So the exoskeleton, bedbugs shed their skin as they grow. And if they grow a cycle of 7 times, that's 7 different exoskeletons. And in really bad cases, you can get a build-up of a very unpleasant, musty smell, especially when the area of infestation is very, very heavy. Likely locations of, I will talk about inside someone's flat first. So if you've got a flat, likely locations, headboard, mattress seams, interconnecting beds, especially like divan beds, slats in your beds as well under your mattress, behind skating boards, behind wallpaper. The list is fairly endless, and we've seen them in walking frames. We've seen them in curtains, in rails, in pajamas, in every single place where there's a crack and a crevice, we've seen them. Also, I think one of the main spots, especially when we're traveling, is suitcases and bags as well, especially if they've been in situation like in a hotel for a week or in someone's property. You pick it up, there's plenty of time for the bedbugs to crawl in and make a new home. They get transferred in and then it goes from there. And we quite often don't wash or treat things like baggage. So there's some likely locations inside your house. In communal areas, again, the list can be endless, but we want to be looking at places where we spend a large amount of time. So on a sofa, in and around sofas, stools, chairs. Again, if it's bad, especially if you lean up against things like curtains or this baggage or these outside coats that people put on a clothes rack, they may well be in the curtain rails. Coat rails and hangers. The list is fairly endless there, but they're the kind of key points. Where you sit for a long period of time, if you put your outside coats or if there's any bags, cloakrooms, places like that. Ways to spread. Now, if you're going into someone's room or you're going to someone's apartment and you're sitting, especially if you're like watching a film or just relaxing or chatting or reading, whatever it is, you can transfer that way, especially if you are living in someone's property for a day or so and you leave your clothes on the floor. Or you leave bags in the corner, again, they can transfer through fairly straightforward. And we see that a lot. So within a property, in bedrooms, in living rooms, if you're staying there and then transferring it back to your own. And then communally, if you're sitting, especially if the seating arrangements are just very fluid and anyone can sit anywhere, you can pick them up. Very straightforward, especially from soft furnishings like sofas. So if you're sitting bar stools, and if you are putting coats together outside, that's a really big one. What we found recently is coats. They don't get washed as much as other items of clothing. And they're very good at cross-contaminating and spreading from there. So there's the communal ways of spreading and the kind of going hopping from room to room and spending time in people's apartments and flats. Next steps, really. So this is like the treatment. And if we had, let's say we have 200 flats in a block and there's several different communal areas, what we want to be doing with treatment is locally treating a room or an apartment, potentially treating next door, speaking to the individual within that apartment. Do they spend time in a apartment adjacent or elsewhere in the property? If they do, treat that. If other people use that apartment, maybe we want to be treating their apartments as well. So it's a little bit of like a domino effect where we want to be looking just not just at the problem area, but other likely spots. So that's to be taken into consideration. And then it's a thorough treatment. You want to be treating using a professional. The professional will have different variants of how they do it. Typically, it's a wet spray. That's a residual. And that stays around for a good couple of weeks, depending on airflow, depending on cleaning regimes and all lots of different factors around that. Now, if it's also worth noting that where or if that person in that apartment goes and sits communally or rests communally, finding out where they, if they have a favourite seat or a favourite chair, where they sit, and do they have prolonged periods of time there, and who they're associating and socialising with, and potentially then inspecting, monitoring and treating their properties also. Now, if it was widespread, we just do what we did and we said then, but it's just on a larger scale. So we might want to monitor all the properties. We might want to get feedback from people via email, especially if someone's managing the site, who's got these problems. You know, what I said earlier on, sightings, bites, black spots, exoskeletons, smell. Have we got any of these signs and symptoms of a bedbug infestation? If, let's say, 10 properties come forward, and there is a certain amount of stigma to this as well, so you might not get the full picture. Especially if we can't, in brackets, enforce entry into someone's property. And in many cases, that's a legitimate and quite understandable. You know, you can't just force yourself in. So it depends on the situation. But if we have got widespread, find it out, getting as many other properties treated as possible. And I often find that, let's say 10 come forward, another 5 will come forward not long after, and then the stigma starts breaking down. And it becomes much more acceptable socially, as well as kind of community based, that we would have this problem and we need to resolve it together. And what we might find in those 10, 15 properties is one or two that it has really taken hold and it's quite severe. Sometimes, pretty much all the time, there is an underlying issue socially, whether that's a psychological, emotional, financial problem, and that might need a little bit more care and attention. On a few occasions, there's the person hasn't actually reacted to the bed bugs and hasn't seen them for whatever reason. And again, there's a plethora of reasons why that could be. But what you've got to be on everything when you're treating is thorough. Thorough treatment will work significantly more than a half-baked, unplanned way of treating. You have to be thorough, and you have to be flexible, and you have to work together to make sure this happens. It's not set in stone. No, especially when it's a large, widespread infestation, not one is the same as another. So you have to be able to communicate and problem solve together to get this problem under control. And then post. So now we're in a post bed bug location where we've had them. Let's say it's been widespread. But what do we need now as an organization to understand and respond to issues moving forward? Well, the number one thing is you need a system of dealing with it. You need a system of monitoring. You need a system of reaction if you find them. You need a system of a kind of a well-being system, like best practice, what to do, what not to do, and how you go about it. You also need an education piece. So post bed bugs, you need, hopefully this is during as well, but certainly ongoing education, whether that's a poster, whether that's a yearly email out explaining some facts or a video or a podcast like this, but you need some form of education piece. You then need to understand who is accountable for what. What is the management company accountable for? What is the care provider accountable for? What is the tenant, the resident, the leaseholder, the freeholder? What is everyone accountable for? And who will be called in at any one given time? So accountability is really, really important. And you can do that by having education and by having a really good system. Next thing is highlighting risk. Now, quite complex, this. So it's not so much just a risk assessment, but it's the risk areas. So communally, if you're the management company or you're a care provider, or you're a housing office or something like this, like it is a communal area a high risk where lots of people are coming and going and resting and relaxing, then I would say that is medium to high risk. So you may want to implement some form of monitoring in that area, an ongoing monitoring. Also highlighting flats and areas that are more high risk. This may be to do with, I will say it, so this may well to be do like a mental health disorder. This could be to do with addiction. This could be to do with social issues. It could also do with vulnerability, as in if people are elderly, or there's disability and all those kind of really sometimes quite complex issues that we're facing. If that's the case, then I would recommend good monitoring and buy-in from family members as well as the individual. You've then got to understand who you're dealing with. So the next is control. So if a problem occurs, you go into your system and then the control measures come out. What products are being used? How is it being used? Is it relevant for the situation? Some products, it takes 4, 5, 6 hours to return to a property. That might not be appropriate for a property or a building that you're managing, or if you're a care provider who are dealing with vulnerable elderly people. So that's worth having that conversation. As well as, is the treatment appropriate for mattresses? Is the treatment appropriate for cracks and crevices? How often the control measures are going to be put in place? What will happen after this? So understanding that, and it might be the case of having, you know, a really good cost register and a really good relationship with a pest control provider. And then going on to that, the last thing in this is help. Who do you go to for help to manage and eradicate and educate and everything, that all this good stuff that I've said already? Who do you go to for help? There's loads of good pest control companies out there. There's some very knowledgeable people, you know, accredited organizations from the NPTA or the BPCA are advised. So this is what you want to be doing post. Have a system, have an education piece. Who is accountable? Being able to manage and mitigate risk, having good control measures, and then who do you go to for help? And now I hope that's helped you. Any questions, you can get in touch with us at combatpestcontrol.com. And please check the show notes for useful links all about bedbugs.